Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and I'm joined by Craig Cotton, Division 3 Engineer for the Colorado Division of Water Resources. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for providing the music that you're listening to, and Daniel Boyce for the bird sounds that you're going to hear. Craig, welcome. Again, Division 3 Engineer for the Colorado Division of Water Resources. This is not your first time on the Outdoor Citizen Podcast.
No, I believe it's my second time. I was here a while ago, so it was good.
Yeah, about a water season ago.
That's right.
That's when you were here last. So tell us about water this summer. What was it like for Division 3?
You know, we actually had a fairly good year this year overall. So our annual stream flow was above average on both the Rio Grande and the Canoas Rivers. And most of the rivers on the San Juans were above average. Sangre Cristo's maybe not so much. They were about average. Some places a little bit less than average. So didn't get quite as much snow on the Sangres as we did on the San Juans. But we did have a good year overall. It was interesting. The spring stream flow was really fairly good. Had lots of water around. Actually, even had some flooding issues. But the summertime really turned out dry, and didn't get a lot of the monsoons that we usually do. And so we had a lot of lower stream flows July, August, September time period.
Yeah, we know. I go walk dogs with a couple of friends on a regular basis in the riparian park in Alamosa. So we walk right alongside the Rio Grande and have some little measurement items, little sticks that stick up out of the river that we use to gauge what the flow of the river is. And we were hoping that once irrigation season ended, that maybe we'd see a little bit creeping back up, right. But it just doesn't seem to have happened.
Well, and it's probably not going to happen for any time soon, because we are actually a little bit over-delivered on our compact obligations.
Oh.
So we've delivered, or we will have delivered, a little bit too much to the downstream states. Now, we can keep that water in Elephant Butte Reservoir and use it as a credit in subsequent years. But what we really like to do is use that water up here in Colorado and keep it up here in Colorado. So we did actually extend the irrigation season a little bit on the Rio Grande.
Oh.
And it'll go until November 8th. And then we will go into what's called winter recharge. And we'll actually be taking some of that water out in canals and delivering it out into and so that it can replace the aquifer.
That's water. Good.
So, yeah. So the river, the Rio Grande, anyway, will stay a little bit lower than average here for the next 2 or 3 weeks, anyway.
Okay. But as I go riding my bicycle around the valley, if I come to a big ditch, chances are there might be some water in the ditch.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Always nice good. To replenish the aquifer if we can.
It is, yes. And that's definitely the case. If we are a little bit over-delivered on the compact, we can deliver a little bit more water into the aquifers.
Great. So what's the winter outlook for the San Luis Valley and Division 3?
Sure. And, you know, we are, or the Weather Service is calling for an El Nino year. And in an El Nino year, we have typically more precipitation in the south part of the United States and less in the north part of the United States. Unfortunately for us, we're kind of right in the middle of that. So in some El Nino years, we have a really good snowpack. In other El Nino years, we're a little bit drier. And so it's really hard to tell for us right here what kind of year we're going to have. Now, I would say that chances are that we will have a little bit better than average year on the Rio Grande and the Canoas and here in the San Luis Valley because of that El Nino. But really hard to tell. We'll have to wait until next May to see how the winter went.
And we'll ask you back again to kind of give us an update and a prediction for what the summer could be like as well.
Good deal.
Yeah, so every year there seems to be some issues with curtailment. Is there any curtailment planned for this year?
So we do curtail on the Rio Grande and the Canoas for compact purposes. And most years we do have some type of curtailment. And really what curtailment is that we, just like the word is says, is that we curtail or we cut back a certain percentage of the water that's in the rivers to deliver water to the downstream states or to the state line anyway. So typically we do that. What we try to do is keep that curtailment the same throughout the entire irrigation season. But realistically, we do have to change it as we go through the season just because we get better ideas of what the stream flow is going to be. So on the Rio Grande Compact, we owe a certain percentage of the water that we have up here. We have to deliver that to the state line. For the use of New Mexico and Texas. That percentage can change based upon what type of year we have. So if it's a low water year, we don't have to deliver near as much as far as a percentage to the downstream states. We can use almost all of that in a low water year, as opposed to a high water year. If we have a high water year, we owe a higher percentage of that water to the downstream states. And then if we get halfway into the irrigation season, for instance, we think we're going to have a really good year, and so we've been curtailing, and that's what happened this past year, curtailing at a fairly high percentage. And then all of a sudden in the summertime, we don't have that much water like we did this year. Then we have to drop that curtailment, and that's what happened this year, and we're at a 0% curtailment right now.
Oh, that's good.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we can use all of the water that we have in the system, we can use it for irrigation right now.
you mentioned, I think, that the flows on the Rio Grande this year were slightly above the average. Is that right?
As far as a calendar year stream flow over the entire year, yes, they were.
All right, Craig, I think, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, a couple of things just to make people aware of. So as some of your listeners would probably know, we do have a United States Supreme Court lawsuit going on right now with the Rio Grande Compact. That's between the states of Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas, and the United States. And that lawsuit has actually been going on since 2013, so we're in our 10th year here. The special master, who's kind of the judge in charge of the case, has ruled in favor of the three states in a stipulated settlement. The United States is appealing that to the United States Supreme Court. And so we're going through that process right now. We'll probably have oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court this next early spring, and we'll see where that goes. And so it's kind of a interesting and unique thing that we don't get to be a part of very often, which is good, but it's something that we're going through right now.
Well, best wishes to however it's best to turn out. My guess is we'd like for the states to be able to keep much of that water.
Right. And I think that's one of the main things, just have the states be able to be in charge of the water use in their respective states.
And you said you had a second thing that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, so as your listeners probably know too, we have an issue with our aquifers here and the groundwater use. And so there's been sub-districts developed. Sub-district number one is the largest sub-district, and that's kind of north of the Rio Grande in the center Sargent type of area there. They are actually in court right now in the water court here, trying to develop a new plan for their sub-district. And so that will probably go to a trial here next year, and we'll see how that goes too.
All right, so a couple of court cases to pay attention to for any people who like to recreate outdoors near water, something to pay attention to.
Correct, yes.
Great. Well, excellent. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate you coming in. We've been speaking with Craig Cotton, Division 3 Engineer for the Colorado Division of Water Resources, and we look forward to seeing you again after an abundant snowfall this winter.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You're listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
The Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events, putting all the Valley events in one place. To submit your event to the Valley Calendar, go to alamosacitizen.com. Click on the Valley Calendar link and fill out the online form. Or you can send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com with your event information. It's the Valley Calendar on alamosacitizen.com. All the Valley events in one place.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at some events in November. The Right will be hosting its last on-the-road campfire conversation to meet people where they are in Sawatch on November 16th at the 4th Street Diner and Bakery from 5 to 7:30 p.m. On November 15th, from 6 to 10 p.m., the San Juan Nordic Club is hosting the Winter Wildlands Alliance Backcountry Film Festival at the Valley 3 Theater in Monte Vista. The film festival will host a series of outdoor films from across the world and right here in Colorado. Tickets are $15 for San Juan Nordic Club members and $20 for non-members. You'll have the option to go to our membership page and purchase or renew your membership when you purchase your film festival tickets. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the show starts at 6:30 p.m. The show in Pagosa Springs last year sold out, so don't wait too long to get your tickets. Prescribed slash pile burns on the Alamos and Monte Vista National Wildlife Refuges are scheduled for sometime this month. So if you see plumes of smoke in the sky above the refuges, it's just the U.S. Fish and Wildlife making way for safer refuges and to better the local wildlife habitat. On The Outdoor Citizen, we invite all the outdoor recreationists and nature enjoyers to be a part of our ever-changing team of outdoor field correspondents. You don't have to report the news. Just tell us about your adventures, big or small, in the San Luis Valley's great outdoors. Here's our latest outdoor field report from Chris Lopez, who witnessed some early morning fall sandhill crane migrations just south of Alamosa. Listen in.
Hey, Marty, it's early in the morning. I'm out here watching the cranes migrate as they come into the fields across State Senator Cleve Simpson's ranch just south of Alamosa. Spectacular to see just the volume of cranes and birds flying through, landing in the fields, and preparing for their flight south for the winter. This is my field report. Have a good day.
Whether you're walking or biking the local trails or climbing mountains, hunting or fishing, or just sitting in your backyard, it's easy to be an outdoor field correspondent. All you have to do is record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We wouldn't mind seeing a photo or video along with it, too. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with a brief description and your name for credit. Next up, we have a few late fall and pre-winter conditions. When snow begins to fall in the mountains, we will have updated information on snowpack levels and avalanche conditions. Stay tuned to the Outdoor Citizen throughout the winter to stay up to date on snow and backcountry conditions. With daylight savings time now gone, and as we continue to adjust, it's good to remember that the animals, especially deer, will also be adjusting. As the days get darker sooner, keep an eye out for animals crossing the roads. It's also time to be bear aware. Bears need to pack on as many calories as they can before winter, which means to keep an eye on your food sources and your trash cans so that interactions with bears remain low. Between April 1st and October 1st of this year, Colorado Parks and Wildlife received 3,083 bear reports. And, oh, and I can attest, on my bicycle ride down to the station today, there were lots of deer out on the roads, some with antlers that might get a little concerned because it's getting close to rutting season. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center has begun their daily forecast and avalanche observations. Conditions are updated every day at 4:30 p.m. and are the state's most in-depth reports for backcountry conditions. Full forecasts, observations, and conditions can be found at avalanche.state.co.us. Next, we have some news from outside. The U.S. Forest Service is waiving all fees for Veterans Day weekend, November 9th through 11th. The Forest Service fee waiver is an incentive to encourage people, especially veterans, who might not take advantage of their public lands, to explore our nation's forests and grasslands. All Colorado state parks are also free to active and non-active military members on November 11th. According to the National Weather Service, Alamosa set a new record temperature on Sunday and Monday, November 5th and 6th, with highs of 69 and 70 degrees, respectively. The Rio Grande National Forest has three public meetings left to discuss its forest-wide over-snow travel management planning project. Forest staff will present the first draft of the winter recreation opportunity spectrum maps for the public to review. These maps depict both the current and suitable over-snow motorized travel uses on the land. The remaining public meetings will be held in Sawatch on Thursday, November 9th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sawatch County Road and Bridge Building at 305 3rd Street. In Del Norte on Monday, November 13th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., it's an open house style at the Rio Grande National Forest Headquarters, 1055 9th Street. And finally, in Antonito on Tuesday, November 14th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish Hall, 6633 Colorado County Road, 113. The annual Rio Frio Ice Fest is set for January 26th through January 28th, and we are really hoping for lots of snow and ice this winter so it can truly be an ice fest. The Ice Fest Committee needs the community's help in deciding on a theme for this year's events. You can cast your vote at rioraces.com/rio-frio-home. And click on the Cast Your Vote link. This month's Rio Grande Forest Specialist Series is with Jason Remshard, Rio Grande National Forest Fisheries and Wildlife Program Manager. He'll be joined by Jamin Grigg, Colorado Parks and Wildlife Southwest Region Senior Wildlife Biologist. They'll be presenting about wolves, including biology, identification, and the reintroduction program. The virtual presentation is Wednesday, November 29th from 5 to 6 p.m. You can find the link to the Zoom presentation on the Rio Grande National Forest's website or Facebook page. That ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We want to thank again Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing, and Daniel Boyce for the bird sounds. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks with Will Rickards, Adams State University's new adventure program coordinator. We hope you enjoyed listening in. Until next time, we'll see you in the outdoors.
AlamosaCitizen.com was launched in August 2021 to provide a fresh perspective on the San Luis Valley. We are guided by the idea that engaged citizenship matters to the individual and to the community. You can support our work by going to AlamosaCitizen.com and hit support our work and give what you can. We appreciate it. We cannot do this work without your support. Thank you, and we'll see you around the valley.